gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, hang on, I think I see white smoke. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's coming from Washington State in Colorado. Where they get it. It's a pot joke. They legalized. Right? Oh, marijuana. It's not the Pope, kids. Oh. Eating some food, watching for the Pope.
I've got a bong that looks like the Pope.
Okay. That was a little impromptu skit. I just thought of that right now. That's why it was doughy. Okay, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Are you all right? You're in a little bit of a frenzy.
Well,
what's happening?
You threw
happening?
A lot of stuff at me when I was trying to start the show. So.
I know. It's awful. Awful. Are you okay? Do you need me to hold you?
Well, you know, we have commercials that we need to play.
All right,
you know,
whatever.
That pay you.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks in hour number three.
Yeah.
Today. Oh, Joe in Syracuse, fine American. Steph and staff. Some days your panel, some days your staff.
Yeah.
Some days your MOOCs. Doesn't matter. I was so happy to hear you talk about the LA Times recently ran an article about who we should pay attention to when Jon Stewart takes the summer off, and you rank number three in the article.
That's right.
Thank you. Word number three. Word. See how it is a day or so later, our favorite Republican campaign funders, the Koch brothers, now show an interest in buying the LA Times?
Oh, great.
What? That calls for double drama stings. Wait a minute. What? Just because... Okay. That's true. I just throwing out a little conspiracy theory. Oh, and the...
That is true.
And the Talkers Heavy 100 list came out. Top talk show hosts in America. We're number 12. We're number 12. I'm number 12.
Weren't we number 36 before?
Yes, we're moving on up.
Okay. To the east side?
I'm the number 12 most important... Something in the, I don't know, this is our moment.
I want full newspaper coverage. I want magazine stories. I want books. I want films. I want TV. I want radio. I want us on the air 24 hours a day. This is our moment.
Who did you beat?
A lot, bunch of, Howard Stern beat me by one. He's 11. He's 11, bastard person.
Well, if we had more naked chicks in the studio, that would probably...
Right? We had more days like Wednesday, where we had Hot Brie and Wonder Woman.
Beat Laura Ingraham?
I did.
Did you really?
Oh, she's way on down the list. Oh, she's mad this morning. Yeah, that's the only reason people care when that list comes out. It's the who's mad. You just go, because you don't even care. You just go down who's lower, and then you're like, oh, they're going to be just ripped this morning.
Stephanie Miller, she ripped off my show.
Oh, yeah, she said that once.
Yeah.
I've been doing radio 25 years.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I stole her shtick. Okay.
And I worked on your previous show before she started her show. I tuned into the first day of her show. I'm like, that sounds a lot like what we used to do on the Stephanie Miller show.
That's weird. A couple of guy sidekicks.
Yeah.
Funny. Funny that. All right, you guys can do the Laura Ingraham orgasm just in honor of me, being so many spaces above her.
More to the right.
Not
to the left.
To the right.
Pull my hair.
She's already mad. Might as well make her madder. Yeah. It's like when you blow your diet. Screw it.
Yeah.
It's just...
Let's eat this whole bag of Snickers.
However, the Stephanie Miller Show would like to point out that we do have no information on whether Laura Ingraham actually... likes her hair pulled during sex.
I think she does.
And we apologize if she does not.
Wouldn't surprise me if she did.
Please, don't do it without asking her.
Right.
Okay. You know, you can just go a little over the line.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
With, you know, sexual horseplay and whatnot. And
horse
talking
play?
Dirty. There's a line where it's hot, and then it's like, oh, all right. Now, you know what? Ouch. Now you just pulled out a clump, and you called me a whore.
Well,
see?
If horses are involved, you've definitely crossed a line.
Yeah, then, that's...
I didn't mean actual horses in horse play.
This all isn't right. Tijuana, after all.
¿Dónde están los caballos?
Oh,
aquí son los caballos.
Dios mío.
Los caballos.
All right, you know why we're looking?
Ay, caramba.
Why?
Because it's right before vacation.
Yes.
I don't know where y'all are going. I do not recommend the Black Sea. You know why?
Why?
There are military dolphins there with guns attached to their freaking heads, and they've gone missing.
Oh.
You know, I have one simple request.
And that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Yeah, that's fine.
But these are dolphins.
Yeah.
They're a little less fierce.
Well, not when they're armed.
How can you be armed if you don't have arms?
What's that, Flipper? You're going to shoot me in the head? What? Well, because they're on their head. They know what they're doing.
Can they pull the trigger?
Mentally.
Telepathically?
Probably, I don't know if it's in their blowhole or what, but it's. Listen, let me get to the story.
All right, fine. Maybe we'll find out.
The Ukraine's Navy.
Well,
they're notoriously accurate.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Hey, they've reportedly put out an APB for three dolphins that have gone missing in the Black Sea. What?
They've gone rogue.
Yes, they've gone rogue. Three dolphins have gone rogue, armed and dangerous. Gawker writes, oh, did I mention these are military dolphins who have been trained to kill enemy divers and may have firearms and knives strapped to their bodies at the time of their escape?
Knives?
Ruh-roh.
Can you shoot a gun underwater?
I know. Experts believe the three bulls had likely fallen under the spell of nearby females.
Chicks
are to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And were driven away from the training grounds by their biological urges. Dolphins, notoriously horny. I've known surfers that say they're very rapey. Dolphins. They are.
Yeah, they get the frisky.
Yeah, they get a little freaky with surfers and stuff and divers.
A lady in the street and a freak in the surf?
Right. Justin Gregg, the dolphin scientist guy, is the way he's identified by Gawker. Gregg, you know.
Dolphin scientist guy?
Yeah, he's the dolphin scientist. He said, if you are planning a family holiday to the Black Sea this week, it's best you avoid any friendly dolphins you might approach, especially if they have knives or pistols strapped to their heads. All right, thanks, dolphin guy.
How do you strap a pistol to a dolphin's head?
Very carefully.
All right. All right, we will talk to the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky, because I don't know about you, but I can't stand this sequestration. I really can't. I
love how the favor there in the way the far right brains on Medicare.
Right.
Who's a tea party on the wind that blows their speeches of hot air. I'm sick of the sequestration. It's given me some frustrations. I'm down on the sequestration. It's stopping the whole damn nation. I'm sick of the sequestration. It's government concentration. I'm fed up with sequestration.
Wow.
It's human masturbation. I'm sick of the sequestration.
That makes
it
seem fun.
That's as elaborate as the original recording.
That is. That was great, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah. Wow, holy Rocky cow. Mountain Mike. He's the only one doing real work for this show, which is ironic since we pay him nothing.
As long as he doesn't end up like Brian Wilson ended up.
Yeah.
Right.
Stay away from Gene Landy, whatever you do. That's it.
Okay.
Never mind.
What?
Brian Wilson famously went crazy.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
Okay.
Okay.
Did I tell you that I met him? He came in and did my country morning radio show.
Wow.
And he was a little out of it, and we were talking to him, and then during a commercial break, he looked at his manager and said, are we really here? Is this really happening?
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Oh, poor Brian.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it was amazing to meet him, but wow, yeah.
A lot of producers whispering under their breath.
Yeah.
Talk quietly to Brian. Don't make any sudden moves.
Yeah.
He thinks you might be a dolphin with a pistol strapped to its head. He's not sure what's happening.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Oh, boy. Yeah, wow. It must be old-time radio story. I talked to Brother Weeze this morning.
Did you really?
I'm the former Sister Sleeves, as many of you know.
That's right.
From Rochester, New York. WCMF, everybody.
Wearing nothing but a barrel.
Home of rock and roll. They ain't related, but the Doobie Brothers.
Don't do that again.
No, you know why he called? Because he has mercury poisoning. And
he
Yeah, well, I said I'm a lesbian, so I, you know what I... And he said, well, we eat the same thing. So it was a whole discussion about...
Oh, you did a bit.
It was a little... Well, we've worked together for many years, so it was a little impromptu bit. But I did. I did have it. So I was giving him advice. I said I did. I had so much mercury up my ass, I could take my own temperature.
Uh-huh.
As you remember.
I do.
Yes.
You were sluggish.
Woo! It's hard to tell the difference between me more normally being...
Drunk.
And that.
Yeah.
You were like Jeremy Piven sluggish.
Right.
Couldn't go on Broadway.
I had to drop out of my Broadway play.
Right.
Yeah.
They apparently did not go for booze or dope or mercury, or mercury. On Broadway.
Much crazy that mercury.
Yeah. Yeah, but I couldn't even remember what to tell him. I remember I had to stop eating fish a while, a few weeks, and then I had chelation therapy. I did that, right? The pills,
sure, whatever you
pills?
Did. I don't
what
know.
Was it?
You were in New York when this happened, weren't you?
No.
No?
No, everything else bad that happened to me was in New York.
Okay.
That was the only bad thing that happened here.
All right.
Broken foot, all that stuff. New York chewed me up, spit me out.
You broke your foot just before you came back here, I remember.
Right. New York rejected me like a bad organ.
Almost took your eye out.
Yeah. Remember we started calling it a move, and then we just called it a trip.
A trip.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we called it the Bataan Death March.
Then we called it the one of the many disastrous mistakes in your life.
Well.
All right. Lots to get to. We have sexy liberal Hal Sparks, as I said, live in studio, who will be with me April 13th. Don't forget the Chicago Theater tickets going very quickly for that. It's upon us, kids. The April 13th Sexy Liberal. And much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour. A fabulous Jackie's Healthcare Corner coming up the top of the hour.
That's right.
And Representative Jan Schakowsky. Two rockin' women in
Absolutely.
1 hour.
Okay. And then we have a rockin' dude in hour three.
Right. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks right there. Hour three. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Literally a rockin' dude. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 01.
With screaming goats.
I once called his band Zero Dark 30, which was not
no,
right.
That's not
he
for
was
him.
Not
no.
happy about. No. He is not in a terrorist band of any
no
kind.
I got an immediate text from him when you said that.
No
I know,
one
right?
was waterboarded during the show, as
it's
far as we know.
It's creepy he can hear everything I say, even when I'm not in the air. I don't know how.
He's a fan.
Okay. Lee, me, and right back at him. Lee in Las Vegas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lee.
Hi, Steph. I really enjoy your show. I just like a minute of your time and talk about this the situation that they have with Eddie Munster. With Eddie
the Budget
Munster.
Munster, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eddie Munster. This is a joke, Steph.
Yeah.
Why don't the Republicans each day spend a couple of minutes, okay, saying the only thing the Republicans want to do is do away with the big three and point it out on a daily basis until it's a nauseam. And they don't want to come halfway and just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And these 65-year-old people who vote for the Republicans, you let them know.
Yeah.
Don't think Paul Ryan was take away the big three.
Yeah.
That's all they want to do.
No, that's exactly right, Lee. It is a joke. It is a complete joke. This budget, it really is just laughable. You shouldn't even take this seriously. The fact that they just lost the election running on these same ideas, and he's literally... Yeah.
It's premium support. It's serious.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Goodbye.
I won't go! I won't! I won't! I won't!
Yeah, you will.
It's like a cootie catcher just opening it at the same thing. How about this now? How about this? No, that was the same thing you just know.
That's the same thing you lost on.
Right. Right. Nancy Pelosi blasted his budget, arguing a budget protects the wealthiest at the expense of the middle class is based on fuzzy Republican math and budget
gimmicks. What's your point? They're the job creators.
The Republican budget, nothing but more of the same, Pelosi said. It still destroys jobs, puts our economic recovery at risk. It protects the wealthiest at the expense of the middle class.
So?
It still undermines the health and economic security of the elderly and disabled. It still ends the Medicare guarantee.
And?
It shifts costs to seniors.
Pelosi, what's your point?
Not actually Nancy Pelosi. Please don't attack me. Pelosi also attacked Ryan for including savings in Obamacare. This proposal is an exercise in contradictions. Republicans repealed the Affordable Care Act while counting on the law's savings to balance their budget. I mean, it really is. It's
Here's my widow's peak.
I hope somebody plays the clips back from during the campaign when they interview him.
Yeah.
I mean, really? You just said this. No, I didn't.
Wasn't me.
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi yesterday, by the way, speaking of the budget monster.
If the point of it is to take trophies, let's raise the age. That doesn't save money. It's a trophy. It's a scalp. But it's not a solution.
Well, thank you.
I want to clear her throat for her.
I want to send her a TheraBreath mouth wedding lozenge.
Yes.
Compliments of Stephanie Miller. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, you know, Paul Krugman just wrote a piece about that, a great one, Jim, saying that that exact same thing. That's all they're doing.
The bankrupt Paul Krugman?
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
Oh, he's bankrupt. I knew it.
Yes. That was that satire headline. Okay. Dummies.
That Breitbart fell for.
Okay. What was I saying? Oh, anyway, but that's what he said. I mean, that's it. That is this whole plan. They want to destroy, Social Security and Medicare.
Mm-hmm. We want to save it by destroying it.
Right. Cordell in North Carolina. Hi, Cordell.
Hey, guys. It's your official screenwriter at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello.
I miss you all. I've been so very busy, but I just had to call in when I found out what they're thinking about doing with Social Security and Medicare. And if I get a little emotional, I do apologize because, you know, without Social Security and Medicare, I don't know if I would even be here right now. It has saved me for the last decade.
Yeah.
You know, I rely on it to get by, to help pay expenses, to help take care of my health, and the fact that they want to make changes.
Well, a lot of people are calling in there that they're emotional about this, and they should be, because, you know, we can't say it enough. It's repetitive, but the fact that they are not entitlements, we are entitled to them because we paid into them. It is our, it's been our bargain or our deal with the government all for however many years, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I'm getting sick of these millionaire lawmakers who have no idea what we have to go through on a daily basis, the pain that we suffer, you know, just, you know, even trying to make it from day to day where, you know, they are comfortable, they have these insane health benefits, and they're going to want to take what little we have. That's just not fair to us.
Yep, I hear you, honey. All right, hang in there. The president talking about the budget.
My goal is not to chase a balanced budget just for the sake of balance. My goal is how do we grow the economy, put people back to work. And if we do that, we're going to be bringing in more revenue. If we've controlled spending and we've got a smart entitlement package, then potentially what you have is balance, but it's not balance on the backs of, you know, the poor, the elderly, students who need student loans, families who've got disabled kids. That's not the right way to balance our budget.
Well, stay away from entitlement reform because it's a fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, there's,
Jim, guess what's good about Paul Ryan's budget?
Nothing.
That's right. Guess what's bad about Paul Ryan's
Everything?
Budget? Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
That's really easy.
You got two in a row right.
That wasn't guess the quote. That was just easy.
Unusual.
Okay. I was like, I did that with a sledgehammer. Okay.
Spring in support. Serious.
Would you like the fun facts? Think Progress brings us the five worst things about the House Republican budget.
Okay.
I'm not even going to go into the details because you don't need them.
Nope.
Number one, gives huge tax cuts to the rich and corporations. There's a shock.
Yeah.
Number two, forces seniors to pay more for health care. Number three, jeopardizes Medicaid. Number four, repeals health coverage from 30 million Americans.
Wow.
Number five, cuts food stamps. There you go. That's all you need to know.
That sounds craptastic.
It is craptastic. And douche-tastic.
It's premium support. It's got a fancy title, so it's good.
All right. All right, Eddie.
We believe that we owe the American people a balanced budget. And for the third straight year, we've delivered. In fact, we balanced this budget in just 10 years. This is a document.
How'd you do that?
A plan that balanced the budget in 10 years.
How'd you do that? Oh, I know. On the Medicare savings that you ran against that are in there. And that it also presupposes repealing Obamacare, which even Chris Wallace says is a bunch of bull. And
it's not going to happen.
The tax increases that you voted against, that's the other.
We balanced the budget in my mind.
Yeah. It really is that. Like, he takes half the things the president did, but I went like this in my hands and got rid of Medicare and the health care, and I did this. See what I did?
Mm-hmm.
Look what I did. It's real good what you did.
It's good what you did, Eddie. It's real good.
29 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
With a big celebrity?
Well, I think you're exaggerating.
Now, you're a lady big shot, like
Stephanie Miller.
It's me, lady big shot. Bigger than Dana Loesch, anyway.
That's right.
I'm sorry. It's a little inside baseball, but it's the morning when the Talkers Heavy 100 list of the top, 100 most important talk show hosts in America come out?
Yeah, I posted the link up at your Facebook page.
All right. So. I'm number 12, and Dana Loesch is what now?
83.
Laura Ingraham's what? Number? 17.
Yeah.
Laura Ingraham's number 17, Dana Loesch. Okay. All right. The only reason anybody, we just look to see who's lower and what number. Okay.
I was looking at that list. They'll give anybody a talk show.
Oh,
where's
wow.
Mark Levin?
Wow, all you got to do is be
fantastic. And
Herman
right
Cain is on that list.
All you got to do is be right winger. Like, here, would you like a show? Have you ever done radio? No.
No.
Here's a show. We will call it the Herp Derp Show.
Herp Derp.
That's
Derp.
Dana Loesch's
all right.
Show.
Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, haven't talked to you guys in a while. I'm in corn country.
Corn country. Go ahead.
You know what? No one is bringing out that. What is it? Between 70 and 80% of this country is rural. And you have towns of 1,500 people or less. Most people make minimum wage. The big jobs are $15 an hour.
Yep.
And they're losing really bad. We're losing. And down here we have a show bus, which is rural transportation, which covers the whole county. We're going to lose that if they don't get funding.
Yeah.
During this sequestration. So that's buses. Plus, most of the high schools take in a whole county. You got kids driving, and they got to take school buses. They're 20 miles from the school, high schools. And the problem is with them cutting the funding, the schools are shutting down all their programs just to pay for busing and get the kids to school so everything else has to go. So we're suffering out here worse than anybody out here in the rural area. And the only people, the only money coming in is for the corporate farmers. They're the only ones getting money into these small towns.
Yeah, and Steph, that's a great point. It's a great point. Scott in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning,
Hi.
Mama.
Hello.
Hey, hello, Moose. I want to say thank you for your show. But also, I had on the budget, I got an idea, and actually I stole this from Randy Rhodes. Put a one-cent transaction fee on each stock market transaction. You could raise billions per year, and nobody would be affected. And it would help reduce the deficit and pay down the debt. And also, one last request.
Yes.
Can you bring your show over to Dallas? We have a big progressive base here that you would you'd sell out easily.
Oh, all right. I will put that on my list of things to do. Thank you, Scott. All right. 36 after. I don't know. That's I couldn't hear the whole plan, but there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing.
Okay.
Okay, then. Mark Levin. What number did Mark come in? We don't know.
Oh, I didn't see him on the list. I think Herman Cain beat him.
They pull off the effects of the massively expanded Medicaid program, where they also expand the definition of poor, so more and more people are on the government dole. And this is why when you have Republican governors like Krispy Kreme signing on to this, it's going to be financially ruinous for your states. Absolutely financially ruinous. But they'll be gone, see. They'll be, I'm a conservative. Why don't I get to speak at CPAC? Now have a donut and shut up, will you?
Wow! I'm sorry, was that him making fun of someone else's physique? That was Mark Levin,
making fun of someone else's
looks.
Yes.
Well, that is just spectacular. Referring to Chris Christie as Governor Christy Creed. Wow.
Right. Okay, Gollum. All right, so you got it.
Mark Levin is not exactly Kate Moss.
No, he's Gollum. He's
why do
know that because it's Swords and Elves. But
I think he sits at home stroking Sean Hannity's books. Precious, my precious.
Who needs it? Me want it. I love that chiseled chin.
Ew, stop. That's an elf, isn't it?
No, it's Gollum.
No, it's Gollum.
Gollum's an elf, right?
No.
Because Sean Hannity is his precious. Precious.
Oh, you really sold the movie to me now.
That was weird. Okay.
Oh, God.
Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends.
Paul Ryan saying he's going to, his idea in his budget is to eliminate Obamacare. That's not practical. Even though you might want it, the Supreme Court has spoken. That's never going to lie.
Oh.
Mm.
Because he heard Chris Wallace say that. So
wow.
Yeah.
The smart guy on Sunday says this.
So I should say it too.
People are saying I'm dumb and I'm startled by the sun coming up.
The one guy who's an actual journalist on Fox.
Yeah. Shepard Smith is good.
Shepard Smith. Yes. I like him.
Yes, he is. I'm surprised he's still on.
Actually, they did very good coverage of 9/11, actually. Yeah. They were there at the Pentagon before the wall collapsed. You know, they were right there.
Oh, Laura Ingraham, or as we call her, number 17.
Stop it!
The public is still
against what Obamacare is doing to
what?
The health care system.
No, they're not.
And I think Paul Ryan sees that even in some Democrat states, they're seeing what's going to happen in a state like Massachusetts. I think Ryan thinks he has some philosophical space to move in there. Mm-hmm. And, again, there are a lot of reasons why he's putting that in there.
I see. Even though the American people, she's running, the American people are for it.
Right.
They voted for it.
Yeah.
And
they voted against.
I see.
What,
Paul Ryan.
What bubble does
she live in? The
American
people see some value in putting in, okay. Why didn't he just put in farting unicorns?
Americans totally
glitter,
see value.
Glitter farting unicorns.
Yeah. Americans.
That ain't going to happen either.
Or glitter farting Rafalka.
Right.
No, Rafalka's no longer with us.
We don't know that. We do not. The Stephanie Miller Show does not have any information on the whereabouts of Rafalka.
Maybe they're passing
We're
her off as calamari.
Campaign prop. Campaign prop. Woo! Glue nail. What?
Rafalka lost as badly as Mitt Romney did.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way,
worse.
Why must Jim... give me this breaking news while I'm eating
okay,
in the morning.
Well, a lot of people are eating, so I don't know that we should.
No, we probably shouldn't
do this until later.
Don't
on.
Don't have the calamari, whatever
you
do.
No, just trust that whatever they tell you it is actually what they're representing it as, because you really don't want to know.
You really don't want to know what they sometimes substitute for calamari.
Don't you feel like we should say now, because somebody just spit out a mouthful
right.
of calamari and went,
if
all
you're
right.
eating, then cover your ears
sorry.
For a second.
Yeah, oftentimes it's actually, drum roll please.
I don't have that.
We don't have that? Okay.
No.
Pig anus.
No!
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and then the thing you did was even grosser, explaining how you know which is which.
Well,
the
calamari is a little more open, and
right,
pig anus
okay.
is a little more closed. But you can sometimes tell because it's really hard to get the taste out of pig anus.
Wow.
And so they have to wash it and lie and everything, and it's
you're turning me into that character on South Park. Just splat.
Yeah.
Stan? Was it Stan who barked every time he saw Pretty Girl?
Right. Well, that's me, too. Okay. Oh, boy.
So how did we get sidetracked into that?
Because that's hard to get out of your head once someone brings that up.
We were talking about the what happened to Rafalka and that suggested.
Now I'm thinking about pink sphincter. I'm like, what? Because when you said closed, I'm like, was it really nervous when it died? Or what? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody
would
be too.
Someone in the chat room said, that is really not kosher.
Yeah. Literally. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. And back to the show.
Okay.
Jim DeMint, Heritage Foundation president.
Need a mint after that.
Right.
Wow.
American Family Radio.
Mm-hmm. What they understand on the liberal side is that the failures of their policies actually have empowered them to actually advance their policies.
Right.
The crisis,
of
financial
course.
Economic crisis allows the president to reconfigure our whole economic and cultural system and to redistribute
blah,
the wealth
blah,
the way
blah,
he wants. It's in a secular,
blah,
socialistic view
blah.
Versus what I see a faith in freedom view.
Faith in freedom. Freedom.
Polar opposite. Oh. So folks wonder why we can't compromise. When one person's going a completely opposite direction, it's hard to work with.
Right.
Okay.
When you're anti-faith and freedom, as the president is.
Sure.
Wait.
The economic crisis started under George W. Bush,
right.
Nimrod.
When Jim DeMint was in the Senate.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jim.
How are all those junior DeMints doing that he got elected?
Okay. Now with Retson.
Yeah.
Thank you. Megyn Kelly and Chris Steigerwald?
Yes, he's
who's that?
He's Fox News Online's pollster.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
48% of voters have a favorable impression of him. 48% president. Have unfavorable. It's tied up. That's unusual for this president.
Well, the stimulus scare Olympics did not probably do many great favors for the public's esteem for the president. And especially when they basically had to say, never mind, this stuff wasn't real. It was just something that we were talking about that could be true. I think that probably accounts for a lot of frustration for people who have generally seen him as an honest guy. Maybe they don't agree with everything, but they've thought of him as an honest guy.
Oh.
No, what's frustrating is that he's caving to the Republicans again. He's not...
He's not doing anything yet.
Even offering up entitlement reform, I think it's just wrong.
Yeah. And what's with the use of the term scare Olympics?
I don't know. They think it's clever. Did he put a hashtag in front of it? Okay, Larry Klayman of Freedom Watch.
Yes.
On Alan Combs Radio.
What I've seen in the last 4 years is someone who has a disdain, I believe, for Jewish people.
Oh, come on. Right.
The references to rich people, the constant, we got to pay our fair share. It's kind of like they're talking about reparations. And it does lead one to think, and we should be allowed to talk about it, too. You know, white people should be able to raise these issues just like black people legitimately raised them over the years in terms of racism. Is that I believe that this guy has a tinge of racism towards whites, and I believe...
Really? Uh-huh. Even though he's half white?
He wants to pay reparations. I don't believe that he likes Jewish people.
He's half white, but he doesn't like white.
I don't think he likes people with faith.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Isn't he the one that just used the Jewish stereotype?
Yes, yeah,
he doesn't like Jewish people because he's talking about rich. Wait a minute.
Taxing the rich.
That was almost Rogue Flair Mary.
Yeah.
Show
you
me
poor
see
the
Jew.
Poor Jew.
Oh, my
Wait
God.
A minute.
Wow.
Wait a minute. What now? Wow. All right. That was a spectacular right-wing world. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I told Jim, I was telling Jim off the air that the phone message he left me about Road Claire Mary,
yeah.
Which is not for air.
No.
Yeah. Melissa Fitzgerald and I were in the car together, and we were laughing so hard we had to pull over and we almost peed ourselves. That's how funny that message was. I couldn't even send it to you to bleep it because it was too bleep.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would just been one
it
long...
It would just been... And also, and another thing...
But... Awesome. It was awesome.
But you erased it, so none of us can hear it.
I know it. I didn't mean to, but it was by, you know, I'm a technophobe. I was, anyway, it's lost. I
don't hit delete,
it.
Just hang up.
I will
that
always remember
it.
Okay, 46 minutes after the hour.
Delete, hang up, same thing, right?
Oops. I still don't know how to hold the call and take another call on my iPhone. I lose the original call.
Yeah, there's a button that says...
I don't know how to do that.
See?
There's a button that says hold and answer. It couldn't be more clear.
I don't have that.
Seriously.
It's not work on mine. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I do it. This hour
Call
brought to you
911.
By... This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like we do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They're amazing. Want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For my special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. What?
Nothing.
Oh.
What?
I don't know.
What do you mean, what?
I told you I didn't
what?
Get it.
That's the second time you said that to me
I didn't
this hour.
Get it. I didn't start the fire. I didn't do it. 1-800.
I'm the fire starter.
We all had that blame mechanism as kids, right? I didn't do it. What? I didn't do
what?
It.
What? I got blamed for a lot when I was a kid.
Right? That explains a lot.
That and the Lincoln Log.
Right? Because it didn't come out perfect.
My excuse was the wind did it.
The wind?
The wind.
Really?
It. Yeah.
You were an odd child.
Didn't get away with it.
No. All right.
I'll bet you I was odder.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Let's go to Deb in California. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love doll.
Hello.
I hope everybody's doing real well today.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The reason I'm calling today is to please, I finally figured out what the Third Amendment is.
Uh-huh.
And I know everybody's probably way ahead of me, but, you know, we've made fun of everybody's all up in the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. The Third Amendment is so, for example, in Portland, Oregon, there were these two dudes armed to the hilt walking up and down the streets in residential neighborhoods. When the people called the police because they thought their school was being shot up,
yeah.
The police talked to these men and they said, oh, we're educating the public on our Second Amendment rights. Well, what the
I
Third
see.
Amendment
It's a little
right
skit, then.
Is,
it's a little performance art. Uh-huh.
And it was kind of crazy to me. I thought, oh, my God, thing is, we're always joking about the Third Amendment being redcoats in our basement. But really what the Third Amendment is we don't have to put up with people like that running up and down the street, armed to the hilt, coming into the Starbucks, for example, in Danville, California. Oh, we don't have to conceal. We're just going to walk in and be armed right up in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Third Amendment is. And I'm so silly. At the
age of 54, I was 54 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
I finally figured out.
Do you like the kick?
Well, I watched yesterday live. That's how I started my day. It was the most perfect birthday, and thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. You're welcome. Yeah, what was the number I saw yesterday? 92% of Americans for background checks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stunning. I think it was Rachel last night was talking about nothing has that approval rating. No issue has that high an approval rating. Patricia in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I got a comment. Everybody keeps saying that he doesn't need to do anything with Social Security and Medicare and stuff, but he does because Medicare is ridiculous. When you work every day, like a regular job, you can have one insurance. When you retire at 65, you have to get Medicare Part B. If you make $1,000, anywhere from $0 to $85,000, you have to pay $104 a month for Medicare Part B. And I don't think that's fair to a person who doesn't make $85,000.
Yeah. I hear you. All right. We're talking to Jackie about some of this stuff at the top of the hour for Healthcare Corner. By the way, I'm loving me some Daily Beast, right?
They're awesome.
It's my new thing, baby. Michael Tomosky. It's my bag. Michael Tomosky writing some great stuff.
Is he a new man?
He's my new man. I always find him handsome. Romantic. it's just what you guys have been talking about, how Obama should respond to Ryan, because Paul Ryan is A, ridiculous, B, his budget is even more douche-tastic than his last two.
Craptastic.
Right, yeah. And craptastic in addition. Michael Tomosky writes, Paul Ryan's new budget, early reviews, deservedly brutal, because Ryan assumes the repeal of Obamacare reverses his position from last year on the $176 billion Medicare savings. It just does not pass the laugh test. Over which he and Mitt Romney used to savage Barack Obama, which now Ryan assumes.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, something tells me when the plan is released in full, these serious people will applaud the effort and implore the president to mimic Ryan's alleged sincerity and about deficit reduction. And that makes this week probably the most important week in his presidency for Obama to stand up and refuse to do that. And this is what I was saying. How many times can Paul Krugman scream it? The deficit is going down.
Yeah.
It is not the problem. And if we do austerity now, we are going to end up like Greece. I mean, it's
the economy is getting better. Therefore, more tax money will come into the coffers and improve things.
And guess what improves the deficit? When the economy improves.
Exactly.
Yes. Michael writes, what he really sought with those first two budget was it, Ryan, was not to egg Washington toward deficit hawkery, but to egg it toward cuts to programs he doesn't like, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and other projects that assist poor people keep the air clean and perform all those bothersome functions, blah, blah, blah. That's Ryan's game, and that's exactly what we're saying. That's his whole game. And he says, Michael writes, jobs are still our biggest problem. As Paul Krugman documented in his Monday column, the deficit is actually decreasing quite rapidly. It is still high, but it's tumbling down. And the one thing that will make it tumble downward further, of course, is putting more people to work, spurring more economic activity, leading to more investment and spending. The February jobs numbers were great, but a 7.7% unemployment rate is still too high. That's what we need to be attacking. But the serious people think otherwise. And by Wednesday afternoon, Ryan will have set their hearts aflutter and pressure will mount on Obama to develop a 10-year plan of his own. That is the one thing he absolutely... I love this guy. That's the one thing he absolutely must not do under any circumstances. He has to acknowledge the deficit is out there and it's a problem. Obama needs to take some steps toward bringing it down even more, but he can say that while also saying, and saying forcefully, I will not hop on the deficit hysteria bandwagon. I still believe the most important order of business is for me to create more jobs. First, for the obvious reason that we want more people working. Second, because a stronger economy will lower the deficit more quickly and reliably than anything else. Why is no one else saying that? So, yes, I want to get the deficit under long-term control, but I'm the president. I was reelected handily, and no combination of people is going to bully me into accepting their agenda or timetable. Obama can't spend the last 3 years of his presidency playing ball on Paul Ryan's home field, especially a little dork with a turned-around baseball cap.
And lifting,
he doesn't wear his baseball cap right.
And lifting a 7-pound weight from curves.
Girl weight.
From curves.
Right? Curves weight.
Yeah.
So my advice to the people who are pushing me to cut the deficit on Republicans' terms is also to go to the GOP and implore them to play some ball, because they're not. Obama can't spend the last 3 years of his presidency playing ball on Paul Ryan's home field. That's a recipe for political weakness and policy disaster. This is a week to draw his line in the sand and tell the deficit hawk establishment who's in charge.
And
who's who?
That's
who's
exactly
who and what's what
happened to FDR in 1937.
He listened to the deficit hawks and almost undermined the whole New Deal.
All right. Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. Get it. Nothing works faster or lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. I love it. I just used my toothpaste this morning. It's clear. It's not too sweet. It's blue. Okay.
And you're talking in that voice. Why?
I don't know. Stephanie Miller, because my breath is so fresh. That's why. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks right there for Hump Days with Hal in hour number three.
Yep.
Tickets going very fast for the next Sexy Liberal Chicago Theater, April 13th. Go, get it. All right, let's do a corner. Let's do it. Yeah.
Hello, world. Here's the news that she's bringing. Come on, get Jackie.
Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
You know, I actually, we were making fun of Mark Levin. We were saying he's sort of like Gollum, and we think that he strokes Sean Hannity's books while saying, but I actually did that to you at a party this weekend, didn't I? I was just pointing out your delightful bone structure, which makes you so beautiful on TV.
Oh, aren't you a sweetie?
I said, look at my precious and how her bone structure is.
It was creepy, wasn't it? I was touching you.
It was a little weird.
Yeah, I was touching you. You don't even
know. But Steph makes this amazing popcorn mix.
Oh, my God. Oh, can I have some recipe music? Would you like to?
Yes.
Yeah, it's right.
What I'm saying is the popcorn was a distraction from the weird petting.
Yes.
But
that's
amazing.
Why you endure the weird petting.
I didn't mind because the popcorn was so good. And I must have asked her 8 times how you make it as if I'm going to make it.
Yeah, you are.
Anyone who knows me knows I don't cook.
It's kind of, I put whatever I have, but I use like truffle oil and... like garlic olive oil. I use weird kind of oils.
And there's some cheese in there? I don't know.
Delicious. Like Parmesan?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, I use Parmesan. And then I use that, you know, popcorn, the cheese-flavored popcorn salt that sticks on it.
Oh, the stupid yellow-colored?
No. It's like a white cheddar kind of thing.
He's classier
and
than that.
Truffle salt. It's delicious. And Parmesan cheese. It's delicious. Thank you, Jackie, for bringing that up.
You're welcome. Okay. It was wonderful.
You know what would also be good on that is Lowry's Season Salt.
No.
Ooh, too much salt.
No. Yes. Stop bogarting my popcorn recipe. All right. Jackie, let's talk corn.
Now we all need health care.
Yeah. After all that sodium.
Blood pressure went up 20 points just listening to that.
I love this story. South Carolina legislator forgets to use his inside voice. Doctors from across the state gathered in Columbia to collectively lobby legislators to expand Medicaid eligibility under the Affordable Care Act. Representative Chris Crawford, a Republican from Florence, also an ER room doctor, supports the expansion but expects Republican caucus to vote as a bloc against the Medicaid expansion. He said it's good politics to oppose the black guy in the White House right now, especially for the Republican Party.
God.
Oh, but he believes in the expansion.
Yes, he does, and he's a doctor, and yet he's, you know... That's the part you're not supposed to say out loud.
So good politics,
yes.
Bad policy,
right.
Totally fine.
I'm a doctor. I know it's a good thing, but a lot of people don't like the black guy. What did I say?
The Bill Frist School of Doctoring, where you can diagnose Carrie Schiavo over a television screen.
Exactly.
There you go.
That's the kind of doctor we're talking about.
So I looked at this op-ed yesterday, Obamacare's Other Plus, in the LA Times, because this is important, right? Because all of this stuff is starting to happen, and... the whole, you know, the stuff that we do on the show with you is just part of it, right? It's like educating people is going to be a big part of whether this works, right?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And I think we need to be really honest about the heavy lift here, because what we're doing is talking about our healthcare system. This is not going to be an easy task, and I think the government officials working on it and the private sector folks working on it know that there's going to be a lot of work put into this. I mean, we're talking about putting people into these exchanges, enrolling them in these exchanges, and a lot of this is salary based. You get a government subsidy depending on how much money you make. It works on a sliding scale.
Right.
So there's a lot of information that has to be gathered and sorted and verified.
Right, and we were saying, as we've talked about this whole way, a lot of Republicans have a lot of interest in sowing fear and confusion about this, particularly in the in some of the Republican states. And
yes.
But and that's what, you know, this article is talking about, is how this is enacted. And it was interesting, Jack, you probably read this part. They made the analogy to when we passed civil rights legislation, women's rights, voting rights, that it also took people, you know, getting activated to, you know, it's not just passing the law, right? It's making it work.
That's a very hard thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to mobilize the uninsured. It's a very difficult thing to mobilize the disenfranchised. We have to at some point reach a critical mass, which is what I think we did with a lot of these other big civil rights movements in history. But it's tricky because there's no one demographic. I mean, you end up having people who don't have enough money to buy health insurance. You have other people who've lost their jobs and can't get health insurance because they have a pre-existing condition and they can't afford it. I mean, it does come down to cost a lot of times, but it is a very difficult thing to do. It's a constituency that's very very challenging to organize. It's something that we tried to do when we were with Healthcare for America Now, and we were trying to mobilize against the insurance industry and against the drug companies. You have to somehow get all of these people together, and it's a very challenging task.
Yeah. Well, it's Nelson Lichtenstein writes in the LA Times. He said, if it's done right, the Affordable Care Act may well promise uninsured Americans a lot more than cheap, reliable medical care. It can also open the door to the democratic empowerment of millions of poor people who are often alienated from much of the nation's civic life by strengthening the organizations that give them a voice. So, and he goes on to say, this year more than 30 million uninsured Americans are going to begin signing up for Obamacare, but the vast majority of those eligible for either the expanded Medicaid program or for the subsidized private health insurance, through state health exchanges, have no idea how to enroll. So that's part of, right, when people call in to ask you questions, right?
Right. I mean, a lot of it's going to be public relations.
Right.
A lot of this is going to be HHS making outreach. It's going to be private organizations, like nonprofits like Families USA, or, you know, some of these other organizations that work solely on healthcare issues, being able to train volunteers to get the personnel in place to be able to talk people through it. It's the same way we try to talk people through Medicare.
Well,
right. When older folks enroll in Medicare, a lot of times they need help.
That's right. And this survey is not good. It shows up to 3/4 of Americans who might directly benefit from the programs are skeptical that the law can provide high-quality insurance coverage at a price they can afford. This is dangerous, he writes, not only for their health but for the viability of the law. Right, because this is what we've been saying over and over. Fear, he writes, fear, confusion, and ignorance among millions of potential beneficiaries can still doom the reform. Obamacare's success depends on the maximum possible participation. You know, as you've said to us many times, you say if too few healthy people purchase insurance through the state exchanges, not only will the flow of premiums and subsidies to hospitals, doctors, and clinics prove inadequate, but insurance companies, which will be prohibited from turning anyone away, will be providing coverage for too many of the old, the ill, and the desperate. Insurance rates will skyrocket. So it's obviously important for the whole success of affordable care, right?
Yeah, I mean, people need to participate. They need to educate themselves. There's two components of this that are good. One, we obviously know, is that a lot of the states have elected out of doing this themselves. So the uniformity of the federal exchange will help in a lot of states. I think at this point it's more than half of the states that are going to be controlled by a federal exchange. The states have said they don't want to do it by themselves.
Right.
There's some that are going to be in partnership, and then some of the states have decided to take this on by themselves, and some will do it very well. I mean, there's some states that already have an infrastructure in place. The other thing is that if they take a lead from Massachusetts, which did a big PR push to get people enrolled in their state insurance exchange, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they use the Red Sox in that to be able to encourage people in sort of a public service announcement effort to get people to enroll. And so I think that if states are clever about it, or the federal government is clever about it.
I was just going to say, Jack, there's this one he mentions, Enroll America, is going to launch a media blitz this summer designed to explain how the new law works and what subsidies are available for working families. Because I think, you're right, that's going to be the whole thing. People are going to be confused. Or like, what is my state different? How does it work here? How do I get it, right?
I might have to do double duty here and then work on that on the side.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think the problem is, too, a lot of times people forget that this is very complicated stuff, and what we need to do is make it more palatable and easier to understand for people so that they can, if they're going to go online, they can log on. It's in plain language. It's an easy process. And that's, there was an AP article about how difficult this seems to be at the outset. And it is going to be complicated. So it's good to try now and get feedback and pare it down as much as we can so that the process isn't daunting and overwhelming.
That's why it's a good time to ask Jackie. Alan in Wisconsin, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Scott Walker has refused the Medicaid expansion, and he refuses to set up the exchanges. And I'm a retired veteran on Social Security, and my wife has a serious thyroid condition. And my question is, when she does get kicked off, is that pre-existing condition clause, is that already available, or does she have to wait until January 1st, or what's the deal with that, you know?
You know, it's tricky. I have to look at the state of Wisconsin in particular, because some of the states have set up these high-risk insurance pools, which would offer some form of insurance for somebody who has a pre-existing condition before those limitations go away. The problem with those in general is the premiums tend to be very high and the coverage tends to be pretty bare. It's a challenge, and I think that the biggest challenge right now is this waiting period, how we do have to wait until these exchanges are, they're going to be open for enrollment at the beginning of October, but they won't be up and running until January. And it is a challenge, and I think it's indicative of the problem we have with our healthcare system currently. I mean, that's one of the things we have to keep in mind, is that you can't blame reform for the problems we have now, because reform has been put into place to fix them.
That's right.
So we still have a lot of problems to overcome.
The main problem you have to fix, Ellen, in Wisconsin is Scott Walker.
He has refused high-speed rail,
expansion. He's a disgrace.
He's reducing Medicaid. He's actually making it smaller.
Yeah, no, he's a disgrace. That guy is, workers' rights. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, he and Rick Scott have the market cornered on D-bag governors.
D-bag. Yeah.
Go, Jackie.
She closes with a D-bag. All right, love you, Jackie Sheck. It's the top of the hour, my precious. Okay, love you, bye. Stop it. No. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. You activated Jim and Mai's inner golem this morning.
Please don't.
He wants it. He needs it. I love my carbonite.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In a perfect world, there would be no right-wing talk radio. Until then, there's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Bugga, 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 bugga. 24 minutes after the hour. What now? Was that what we were just listening to?
That was a concerned Minnesota father, Mike Fry.
Uh-huh.
There we are. What you do?
Testifying at the Minnesota State House hearing on gay marriage.
Ah, that was very, very graphic.
And he explained what happens to...
Yes. Very graphic.
What happens during gay sex.
Yes.
And
wow,
straight sex.
Wow, it sounds
and
horrifying.
And straight sex.
Okay.
No straight people have ever
That's
done anything
not how
like
I
that.
Recall it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere.
He didn't mention the lesbian sex.
No, he didn't, strangely.
He's like,
doesn't seem to have a problem.
Yeah, that's hot. The other thing's gross. Donna in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just found out this morning that Oklahoma, I didn't even know they were looking into this, but... apparently, they're one step closer to passing where teachers can carry guns in school.
No, okay.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, if that passes, does that mean every school has to follow that, or can schools set their own guidelines and say no?
It's such a ridiculous idea. And Donna, in some of these states, of course, they're talking about forcing teachers to yeah. carry guns, whether they want to or not. I mean,
it's insane.
It's so depressing. I feel like a super liberal, and I'm in Oklahoma, so you know what that must feel like.
Right. Oh,
yeah. And I feel like we're losing, you know, just to all these small states and their governors and their senates that are so Republican.
Well, you're right. I don't know if it's a reaction to, you know, the president's second landslide victory, Donna, and, you know, reelecting, you know, and gaining a bigger Senate majority, 1.5 million more people voting for Democrats for the House even than Republicans. I don't know, Donna, but you're right. The states, it's like they're going crazy Fruit Loops, right-wing nuts, aren't they?
Right. Yes, and it's scary. I don't know, you know, what my – I know I had some crazy teachers in school. My son has had a couple so far.
Please.
And I would really hate for them to have a gun.
Yes. We've discussed our personal teachers.
Yeah.
Right? Starting with the one with the lazy
eye. The crazy Vietnam – yeah.
Dr. Hunsucker.
yeah. Well, even – oh, gosh, I just lost my train of thought.
Yeah. Well, no, but it doesn't make any sense because to be prepared, you'd have to have it on you, like Rambo, right? And, you know.
Exactly.
And you have to have proficiency training. You have to keep going.
Just like a gun in your home. I mean, to have it ready, you need it locked, ready, loaded, right next to you.
Yeah. Which what do you think, Don? Do you think there's going to be some more accidents and tragedies with that now?
Oh, absolutely. It's just more, their answer is not more guns, more.
Yeah.
People carrying and
yeah, exactly.
So depressing.
All right, best of luck to you in Oklahoma. You're on your own. All right, love you.
I understand how she, you know, it's tough to be progressive in a red state.
I know.
I've been one.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're like the Underground Railroad.
Oklahoma,
people
we're like
herp. Well, close the drapes so people can't see current on.
Yeah, but
Stephanie, don't tell them I'm watching this. You are my precious. You're all I have in Oklahoma. I stroke the TV.
Yeah, but neither one of you have lived in a red state, so.
Have I?
You're right.
Okay.
The defense rests.
Yeah.
Ron in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I'm still on this doggone filibuster that Rand Paul did, and I heard Bill press, and I'm real disappointed in Bill. Actually praising him for doing that. And I haven't heard any.
Ron, the point is, we should have real filibusters like that. Half of the stuff he said was nonsense.
I agree, Stephanie. I agree with you 100%. I mean, that's totally right. But he filibustered for 13 hours, tying up the business of the country to ask what I consider one of the dumbest questions I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Did the president think he has the authority to kill innocent Americans? Is that, you know, what is this guy's IQ anyhow?
Yeah, I know. Well, of course, the answer is no. Art in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Art.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Art.
I'm not going to talk politics, but I am for gun laws. I am for gun restrictions. And I believe the answer is we have to concentrate on these judges. That young man, I don't know their names now, that young man that shot that little girl that was in Washington, D.C.?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay. He was out on parole twice for using an illegal weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Two times.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we pass a law? This is what I'm getting after. Pass a law. I don't care if you're a businessman. I don't care if you're whatever you are. You got an illegal gun on you. You go to jail for 15 years, no questions asked. Then we stop showing the problem.
All right.
There's a bigger problem.
Are we agreeing with each other, Art?
I think so. We're out of time. I'm getting out early.
Yeah, before it gets...
cracky?
Before it gets awful.
See? I think he didn't get to his main point.
Probably
not. He's fuming now. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, nobody believed we'd make it. Look at us now. I drink and you use sex as a weapon. That seems to me like a success.
Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Come on, let's class this joint up. We have the rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois joining us now to talk all things sequestration. Good morning, Representative.
Hi, how are you, Steph?
I'm good, rockin' congresswoman.
Thank you.
I love that you call the Republican budget March Madness.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
I mean, madness as insanity, yes.
Yeah.
Not sort of like happy mayhem. This is really a crazy budget.
Yeah, I mean, it literally is things that I thought the election already was you know, decided. Here's Paul Ryan yesterday talking about Obamacare again and repealing.
We will never be able to balance the budget if you keep Obamacare going, because Obamacare is a fiscal train wreck.
It hasn't even started yet, really. I mean, it's ridiculous, right?
Well, here's the thing that makes what he said so deceptive and really disgusting is that were it not for the cuts that were actually made, remember that $716 billion, he keeps all of the tax revenue from Obamacare. He keeps all of the trimming that we were able to do from Medicare in his budget. But what he does is he cuts the benefits. He cuts all the benefits. So those people that were hoping with pre-existing conditions that they would be able to get health care and that they might get subsidies from the government, that's gone.
Right.
So really, Paul Ryan ought to dedicate his budget to the President of the United States, because it's really the hundreds of billions of dollars a year in the President's policies that make it possible for him to even suggest that he's going to eliminate the deficit.
Right. The new tax revenues, obviously, that he voted against, he uses in there. And,
right.
And it just, I mean, you know, maybe you can explain it better to a layperson. I just don't understand. Even, you probably saw this exchange with Chris Wallace. He's like, you supposed the repeal of Obamacare in here. And he's like, yes. And he's like, well, that's not going to happen. So what, it's an entirely fictional document. How are we supposed to negotiate with or against this?
Yes, well, it's completely dead on arrival in the Senate. This is absolutely going nowhere. And in fact, I thought with Chris Wallace that Paul Ryan admitted that this was really just a statement of their philosophy. And what a mean-spirited philosophy it really is. This is essentially to lower taxes for the wealthiest, which would require an elimination of a slew of popular middle-class deductions. There's no other way to do it, and the White House is suggesting that it would even cause a large tax hike on the middle class to make the numbers work, cuts Medicaid to the bone, slices food stamp benefits in order to do it. That is their philosophy. They have it in black and white now. Very unpopular. I think we had an election pretty much on this issue,
yes.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I honestly don't get it, Representative, and I think for people watching from outside of Washington, it just seems the parties are farther apart than ever. We've had this election, as you say, and they literally are doubling down on all the ideas that just lost. Do you see any way that we come together on this? I don't understand how.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how many of the Republicans actually vote for this budget, if they call it for a vote, because I think many of them, after this last election, may be a bit worried. But if they aren't worried enough, they should be worried in 2014, because the kinds of cuts that are going to make it possible to give more tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans is exactly what the American people said no to.
That's right.
So I think it's at their peril that they vote for a bill like this.
Well, you know, Representative, I'm sure you've seen the same polling that, you know, the president's approval rating is slipping somewhat. I mean, they are helping to ding him, but as I'm reading in front of me, it's still Republicans who are taking more of the blame for letting sequestration take effect. And I think more importantly, Eleanor Clifton, the Daily Beast, has some sample headlines from around the country. You know, Pittsburgh, U.S. government sequester kills Army Marine tuition aid. Missouri, federal workers across St. Louis irked by lost pay, insult of furloughs. Wyoming healthcare centers brace for sequestration cuts, you know, and on, right? So I do think that as this plays out, it's only going to get worse for Republicans, isn't it?
I don't think there's any question about it. In fact, we had a presentation on some polling that was done just completed last night, and to your point, John Boehner turns out to be probably one of the most unpopular people in the country with Americans, and there's a big gap between his positives, 27%, and the president's, which 49%.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that our pollster, Stan Greenberg, was actually surprised at, 60% of Americans are really worried that the cuts that are in the sequester and in the budget are going to personally affect them in a negative way. And so, you know, for a while we were wondering, are the American people really going to see this sequester and these budget cuts as, you know, meaningful in their lives? The truth is that people are worried about it, and they should be.
Yeah, well, I mean, and as I say, this is, you know, I think that I was reading a piece in here about somebody from the White House saying it's going to take a while for this to seep down into the grassroots and cause some kind of popular reaction. But, you know, the White House and others are remaining hopeful the fallout from the sequester and say defense-heavy Republican district states like Virginia could produce a compromise at some point on this sequestration. What do you think?
Well, I'm hoping that we'll be able to come up with a compromise. I just produced a piece. I actually haven't put it out yet, that said, yes, let's cut spending, but let's do it through the tax code, because there are all these tax giveaways that are really another way of spending that results in 10-year savings of $1.2 trillion, exactly the amount of the sequester. We could ask not only the richest Americans, but corporations that aren't paying any taxes, big oil and gas companies to pay more. I think at one point I talked with you about our corporate tax fairness bill, the one
right.
I have with Senator Bernie Sanders, and so there are a number of ways that we could address the problem without asking middle class and poor people to tighten their belt, because, Stephanie, they're on the last hole in that belt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. By the way, if I were in Congress, anything that had your name and Senator Sanders, I would just say yes before they even say what it is. Do you? Who votes aye in favor of? Yeah, me. Yes.
Thank you.
Whatever Jen says. So, you know, because I'm sure, you know, I think I was watching, it was Rachel last night. I mean, look at you know, the gun stuff you and I have talked about.
Uh-huh.
Is it 92% of Americans are for background checks? And, you know,
including,
I mean, how can
owners
politically something not get done, and yet there is not a single Republican that will vote for it, right?
You know, that's the thing, the disconnect between what's going on in Washington on the Republican side of the aisle and the American people has, I don't think, ever been so profound, certainly not in the in the 14 years that I've been here, but I think longer as well. This is really going against the grain in every way. The gun issue, the budget issues, immigration issues. Hopefully we're going to make some progress there, just because they see the writing on the wall in terms of their own reelections. But, you know, so it is hard to explain to people why we can't get things done, but it is also unfair to say, oh, act like adults, it's both sides. No, it really isn't. The president has been reaching and reaching and reaching and dining and talking and schmoozing, and still they're not moving.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm reading it right as we speak about the gun issue, Congresswoman. Senators negotiating a bill mandating background checks for all gun buyers are privately expecting the NRA not to fight the measure, provided the legislation does not require private gun sellers to maintain records of the checks. Yeah, by all means, let's make sure that we take teeth out of it so the NRA is happy, who represents nobody at this point, if you look at the polling, right?
Well, the good news that that legislation now is coming out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. We have both of my senators, Senator Kirk and Senator Durbin, that are on a gun trafficking bill that's moving along. You know, although not a single Republican, was it the background checks that came out.
Right.
Not a single Republican voted for that. It's just mysterious.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It just it cannot stand.
But not keeping records is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that we can't go back and trace a gun to a crime. This idea that somehow big government wants to spy on people. No, actually, we want to keep our kids safe in school and going to the movies and in our neighborhoods in Chicago. That's our ulterior motive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, Representative, how do you see this budget thing playing out? So what happens next? Is it the Senate Democrats put forward? Because, like I said, to me, this is just, it's laughable, the Paul Ryan budget. So now what?
Well, the Senate will come up with a budget. It'll be interesting to see if the Ryan budget passes. Then there's going to have to, we're going to have to try and work together on budgets. But it's hard to, and that's true on a continuing resolution. That is also going to be conference because that keeps the sequester in place, all these automatic budget cuts. But I think that hopefully we're going to keep mobilizing that majority of the American people that say, we're not going to accept a completely unbalanced, without increases in revenue, corporate and personal. I think, rich people, rich companies paying more. We're just not going to accept that. We're not going to say, let's cut Medicare and Social Security and food stamps and Meals on Wheels and food inspectors in order to give tax cuts to the richest Americans.
Yep. Here we go again, right? Same.
Here we
same,
go again.
Same.
That's right.
All right, before you go, who do you want for Pope? Just kidding. All right, just kidding. We don't care.
Pope.
Come on.
But the kind of neat thing is that when the Pope gets elected, he becomes infallible.
Yep.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Don't you wish that that works for Congress people?
Some people think so. When they're elected to Congress, they think they become infallible.
But only one is, and that is Representative Jan Schakowsky, the rocking congresswoman from the great state of Illinois. Talk to you soon, Representative.
Thanks so much.
All
okay,
right,
bye-bye.
There she goes.
You threw her off with the Pope question.
Yeah, threw a curveball there.
Yeah.
Who do you want for Pope? Okay. It's just that you're like, who cares? I don't know.
Yeah.
Really? I was watching people on TV watching for smoke. It's
how about
like,
Paul
oh,
Ryan?
I wonder
get him out of
who's
this country.
Gonna... Yeah, there you go. There you go. Paul Ryan for Pope.
Okay, then.
There you go. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
How about Rico Kasich for Pope?
Good
He's
idea.
Just as good as anybody.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks on his way in studio. Thank you, Mr. Mann.
Special delivery.
Travis just brings me things to make me look important like it's broadcast news.
That's right.
All right. Oh, hey, guess what? This is a thing. Has someone told Mayor Bloomberg? Deep-fried donut bacon cheeseburgers.
Mm-mm.
This is a thing. This is why you're fat.com. Okay.
Okay, you can ban that, but don't ban my big gulp.
Sweat. Don't get the calamari.
Okay, wait a minute.
What?
I have a question about the sugary drink ban.
Yes?
Does that mean that Diet Coke is banned as well?
No, there's no sugar in Diet Coke.
But the artificial sweeteners aren't good for you either.
I know. But,
right.
Choose.
Fat, cancer. Okay.
I'll just get a bottle of water.
That's a ridiculous idea. All right. Tommy writes, very important. Oh, it's a very important tip. For you dog lovers, do not feed your dog a big plate of leftover pork lo mein and then go to bed. Yeah, that probably was not a good idea.
Oh.
P.S. Rafalka was sold to IKEA after the Olympics. We don't know that for sure. We're just saying. Okay. Oh, and also some Paul Ryan budget fun facts.
Okay.
Let's see. Welcome to the new budget, same as the old budget. How do they compare? Paul Ryan or Mitt Romney? Raises taxes on the middle class to pay for tax cuts for the rich. Check. Both of them. That's what they just ran and lost on.
Yeah, great.
And Medicare, as we know it, shifting costs to seniors. Check. Maintains billions in oil breaks for big oil. Expands incentives to ship jobs overseas. costs, cuts funding for education, including Pell Grants, repeals benefits of Obamacare, imposes draconian cuts to key support programs for middle-class and low-income families, slashes Medicaid, hurting seniors, low-income families, individuals with disabilities, lowers growth, increases unemployment, increases painful European-style austerity measures. Check,
and they
check,
really think
check,
this is
check,
a good idea?
Check, nice. Check, check.
Also, the CBO expects the deficit for 2013 fiscal year to be $845 billion, down from $1.4 trillion in 2009. So the debt is already going down.
Why does Obama hate America?
And now we have the sequestration, of course. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of sick of it already. Yeah.
I love the color of Vader there, and the way the far right preys on Medicare. Eyes of the TV on the wind that blows their speeches of hot air. I'm sick of the sequestration. It's given me some frustration. I'm down with the sequestration. It's stopping the whole damn nation. I'm sick of the sequestration. It's government constipation. I'm fed up with sequestration. It's cheap masturbation. I'm sick of the sequestration.
Wow, Rocky Mountain Mike! Yeah, I was just talking to Representative Jan Schakowsky about this. Eleanor Clifton, the Daily Beast, stung by the media's focus on the suspension of White House tours as a symbol of stupid sequester politics, Democrats fighting back, party sources busily providing reporters with links to stories around the country that show the impact of the automatic federal budget cuts, with some Republican lawmakers starting to squeal.
Oh, good.
Squeal! Squeal! Squeal!
Squeal louder. Squeal louder.
He got a little pretty male, thank you.
That's the truth.
The mounting complaints provide some context for President Obama's visit to Capitol Hill this week, where he will make separate pitches to Republican and Democratic caucuses in both houses to replace the sequester with smarter short-term cuts coupled with a commitment to trim entitlement programs in exchange for tax reform and a promise of more revenue. These headlines around the country, they are just not good. Michigan Grand Rapids Press. FAA could close 6 airport control towers in Michigan.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong there?
Planes falling out of the sky.
Woo, it's a libertarian paradise. Go, land, fly, do whatever you want. All right. Senator Mitch McLiplis on the whole budget.
It appears the president is happy to drop a bomb on the congressional budget process instead by releasing his budget plan after the House and Senate have already acted. Now, presumably, this is so he can campaign against Republicans if the process fails, as he no doubt hopes.
Yeah, no, see, he already did campaign against Republicans,
and he won,
and you see, you lost. You see how that went down.
My sole purpose is to deny the president a third term.
Yep.
Sorry, what?
Mm?
He doesn't get one
anymore?
No.
Senator Kelly Ayotte.
So for those seniors that are out there, with Medicare going bankrupt in 2024, with Social Security going bankrupt in 2033, to increase taxes $1 trillion and to not even save those programs, to me, seems unconscionable.
First of all,
Lindsey Graham's beard. I mean, friend.
Good friend. Good friend.
Good friend.
You can understand that. Beard sounds just like friend.
I just want to borrow her pearls.
Yeah, but never mind. I caught myself.
No, stop it.
I caught myself.
Thought bubble? Thought inside voice? Okay. Yeah. And the president's carny yesterday.
We look at the Ryan budget as
a joke?
A perfect example of why balance is so necessary, because this is the alternative to balance.
Just a little bit. And the president's carny one more time on tax leap.
Have you looked at the Ryan budget? Can you find a single item in tax reform, a single loophole closed to achieve $5 trillion? $5 trillion, man, that's a lot of money. Not one.
They're kind of laughing at the budget. And it's pile on the budget monster day. Senator Harry Reid.
He's serious.
I know that Congressman Ryan is held out to be this guru who understands things so well.
Right.
What he understands is gimmickry.
Yeah, his understanding's right. All right. Representative Chris Van Hollen, one last one here.
It's a question of whether you take a balanced approach, which is what we proposed, or you take this lopsided, uncompromising approach, which is what we're seeing in the House Republican budget.
Richard in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Hello. Hello. I get to vote for Jan Schakowsky, too.
Yay.
Yay is right. You know, this stuff about guns in schools, I mean, they haven't proposed arming the kindergartners yet, but where are places you
they'll
can
get to that.
Carry a gun? Yeah, they will, I know. Surprised they've overlooked it. You can't walk into the NRA headquarters with a gun, I'll bet you. But you can't go into our courts, you can't go into Congress. But it's okay for the common people to have all these guns around. You can't even walk into a gun shop with a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they think you're robbing them. You can't, in some of them, you can't have more than one bullet in a gun. So there's, what about the large clip magazines?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly, exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, sexy liberal Hal Sparks.
He is downstairs.
Live in studio for Hump Days with Hal, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't. Stop it. You hurt yourself. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, and it's Wednesday. You know what that means.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Yeah. Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Hi. Hi. How about that Paul Ryan budget, huh? Haven't seen that many cuts since I dated that emo chick.
That's his new character, Evil Bob Hope.
Yeah. Yes. We talked about it during the break. Here's the thing. The difference between the Romney-Ryan budget plan that was cookie-cuttered from the original Ryan plan and pretended not to be, and the new Paul Ryan plan, is that he scratched out Vice President Paul Ryan's super awesome budget for the new America that's like the old one. It was written across the top in big, like, orange
font. And you could picture the turned-around baseball cap while he's writing
it. Yeah.
And
unfortunately, the one he actually had to turn in to get voted on has that scratched out, sadly, at the top.
Yes. Scritch.
It's been redacted. They redacted my awesome title.
My Vice President, he's been redacted.
The Ayn Rand Memorial Budget.
It just doesn't... You think there was actually outright laughter in the White House when they... Really? Really? This again.
I would think so. I think there was outright laughter at certain points during the campaign when they were really aware that this was a stinker. Right. And now they know it's not working. It's just meant to be an obstructive process. It's just a holdup. It's a campaign tool. Yeah. And it's interesting that
it's comprised of things that either were the president's idea that he voted against and campaigned against, or things that aren't going to happen.
Right.
The repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, not the appeal. Again, very distinctly, and I think it was great that it was brought up at least tacitly, was it's not a repeal of Obamacare. It's a repeal of the benefits of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. It keeps all the savings. It keeps all the...
Which can happen if you take away all the benefits.
And
however...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. When you get faced by Chris Wallace, probably a bad...
And the Affordable Care Act over time lowers the deficit, and thereby our national debt as well. Mm-hmm. The amount of money that we pay into health care can and should be curtailed
ways. What, Mike Tomosky and Daily Beast, what Paul Krugman and others are saying, the deficit is going down. The best thing to do for the deficit, as the president just said, is get more jobs and spur the economy.
Exactly.
That will bring the deficit down. It just,
I'm just reading that the CBO says the deficit for 2013 fiscal year is thought to be about $845 billion, down from $1.4
trillion. Right, and most, and 92% of Americans
don't know that. There you go.
Right.
Cynthia in Chicago, you're on with Hal, your homeboy. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, Stephanie?
Yes.
I just had a comment about the Ryan budget.
Yes.
I guess he doesn't know the definition of stupid.
Well, he does. It's his budget.
Right.
Yeah.
The definition of stupid is making the same statement and expecting a different answer.
Right.
I guess he thinks everybody is stupid.
Yep, exactly.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
they're counting on a certain level of bullheaded stupidity mm-hmm. from their constituency. They actually, and this is the same thing that's happening with the gun laws that are trying to get through or whatever, yeah. is that while 92% of the American people are for it, because of how they have laid out a lot of these congressional districts, these guys are actually cornered into the kookiest districts ever. Right. Yeah, if you have a secure district, it means everybody there is drinking the same Kool-Aid almost.
Right.
And so you have no, you know, these guys are going to have to run on bananas, like craziness.
The cuckoo banana platform.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. This stuff is bananas.
Slide whistle politics.
The president's approval rating is slipping slightly. The latest McClatchy-Maris poll shows the approval rating 45%, disapproval rating at 48%, 4 points higher than it was in December. Still Republicans, though, who are taking more of the blame for letting sequestration take effect. The poll finds 46% surveyed blaming Republicans, 36% blaming the president. And we were saying, as more and more of these local headlines and local stories come out, and people are feeling the real pain.
By the way, those are the exact numbers of identifying Democrats versus identifying Republicans.
Right.
And that number on the Republican side is the scariest number for them. You got a constant 32 to 36% Republican identity and voting platform in this country. Because, look at who's against the president every single time.
Yep.
It's going to be somewhere between 32 and 36%, except in the rare issue of, with interestingly enough, background checks. Because that hits people, I think, in their heart, and they pay attention after something like Newtown. But in this case, I mean, every single person who identifies on a team level with a big R on their shirt with the Republican Party is just soundly against the president no matter what he does. And I think a good 20% of those people are, it's because of his skin color, and the rest of them is just because he's got a D on his jersey, and that's all that matters to them. They're going to stay at that point. The scary part for them, and what happened in the last election and became more pronounced, was that 46%, which would become a 52% as Latino.
Quoting a South Carolina Republican legislator who was saying it's good politics right now for a lot of Republicans to vote against the black guy. And this ooh, was I not supposed to say that part out loud? Ew.
God.
But it's true.
Wow.
And he's someone that was actually, he's a doctor, and he's for, expanding the Medicaid expansion and all that.
Well, they're all for it when they see actually the benefits of it long term.
Right.
The other thing, too, is that Paul Ryan, they would never put into their budget allowing Medicare and Medicaid to negotiate pharmaceutical prices as a group thing, which they would allow a corporation to do. Any corporation that wants to basically unionize their purchasing power against a pharmaceutical company and go, we want to negotiate the price of this down since we're buying it in bulk. They would never let the government do that.
Right.
They would never let the taxpayer do that because
corporations aren't people after all.
Exactly.
What? Right. Ivan in California, you're wrong.
Special treatment.
With Hal. Yes, hello, Ivan.
Yeah, there's a bill. I believe it's 1965 by a Democrat, and it brings the House in line. Like Paul Ryan, he's a first time in the House. Mm-hmm. If he loses, his pension is $50,000 a year, but Mr. Lundgren, who brings the bills up, won't even bring it up. So these people, if they lose after one time, they have to wait until they're 65 or 67 to get their old age pension. Why do they get $50,000 a year, $26,000 more than the top paid doctor for working just 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Well, because they get so much done.
Good.
Right. Well, interestingly enough, from the Republican standpoint, doing nothing is their job this time around. And they're stopping bills from going through.
Right.
They consider those that's having a do nothing Congress to them is a badge of honor. If you're an Ayn Randian, you believe that shutting down, it's the Grover Norquist thing, drown the bath, the government in the bathtub. That's part of the plan. It's not that they're not getting stuff done. Not getting stuff done is actually the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is Sarah Palin has tweeted about the soda ban being overturned in New York.
Victory in NYC for liberty-loving soda drinkers. To politicians with too much time in their hands, say, government, stay out of my refrigerator.
Look, the cost long-term of obesity in this country will be the same. What we thought was going to be the baby boomer crest in costs for healthcare is actually turning into the obesity crest. It's as baby boomers, a lot of them actually realize that long-term health benefits of exercise, taking better care of themselves, and the egotism of that actual group, that generation, actually serves them. The obesity level in this country is actually what's causing our healthcare costs to project higher. And so trying to curtail that on a government level, I totally get.
Wait, there's more important news than obesity tanking our entire healthcare system. Sarah Palin's writing a book about the war on Christmas as well.
Uh-oh. I have to leave. I have to go right to Toys R Us because they're going to be out of crayons.
$10 says she's not writing it.
Yeah.
She's, it's called
she's a ghost liar.
The book is called A Happy Holiday Is a Merry Christmas.
Bam!
Due out in November.
It's what?
It'll urge reserving Jesus Christ in Christmas.
Hmm.
You know what, Jim, it's better. Can I have some Sarah Palin music? It's better when Jim just reads her gobbledygook. It's all this stuff down here about what the book's going to be about, about Christmas. Also, too, in addition to...
It's the fragility of this politically correct era. It is imperative we stand up for our beliefs before the element of faith in a glorious traditional holiday. Christmas is marginalized and ignored. This will be a fun, festive, thought-provoking book which will encourage all to see what is possible when we unite in defense of our faith and ignore the politically correct Scrooges or rather take Christ out of Christmas.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Right. By the way, that's classic country artist money-making that she's doing there. If your career is flagging, turn out a Christmas or a Christian album, and you'll give you a nice fiscal boost.
Yeah. We're doing Sexy Little Christmas Sweater. I haven't talked to you about it.
Oh, and we're going to do a Sexy Little Jesus is the Reason for the Season show because we support people's right to worship Jesus and have Christmas, so why not?
I'm knitting you a festive thong for the teabagging demonstration.
I'm already wearing it. It's a little, the prototype's a little itchy. I'm going to give you that.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Don't use try it on first. Time.
I got it. I'll use a chamois. I'll use a thong. Okay. Right. Here's everything you need to know about the current makeup of the Republican Party. Palin and Trump score more CPAC speaking time than Paul, Rubio, and Ryan.
That's huge. Huge.
That's actually a smart move.
Yes. Would you like to know the fun facts? Palin gets 16 minutes. Oh, who doesn't want longer of that word sound?
Encore!
Trump gets 14 minutes. That's huge.
Huge.
Rand Paul, Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal. Rand Paul gets 13 hours, of course. No, he does not.
No, he gets up there. He has 8 minutes slotted, but he will.
And then the marmoset on his head needs a drink, and he has to stop.
Right.
Rand Paul, Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker each have 13 minutes. Rubio and Paul Ryan each have 11 minutes. Frothy the Santorum only 7 minutes. Mm. And this year's keynote speaker, Ted Cruz, however, will speak for a full 33 minutes. Oof. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Where he will read from a list of people he has assured are Marxists, communists,
that list takes
Muslim sympathizers from Kenya.
A list of 205 Muslim sympathizers in the State Department.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, Hal says debt.
Debt.
Back with
Let's do it.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, one of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Let's talk about all the good things, talk about things that make me. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Sure, everyone's talking about it. Is anybody doing anything about it?
Hump Days with Sex on a Stick. Hal Sparks, 23 minutes after the hour. He is Sex on a Stick.
It's true. Well,
1-800
oftentimes I'm on the stick itself.
Yes.
But I understand.
Right.
Not to mix metaphors.
Marcy in Florida, you're on with Hal. The aforementioned sex.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, Hal.
Hi.
I have a question for you. I talked to this person. He's a tea partier.
Yes.
I don't call him tea baggers anymore because I don't want to be mean.
No.
But
besides,
I have a
it makes
question.
A man.
I know. Well, I mean, they give off deadly ways of stupidness, so you try not to talk to them too long. But
yeah, it puffs out like spores out of an alien pod.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Now.
I have a question. They're always going small government, small government, small. We need small government. And I asked them, what does that mean? And they just kind of give me this look. But I asked them the other day, I go, well, what? And if you could give me the answer to this, because I don't know, I guess I could fact check it. But
but that would be lazy.
Yeah,
just call a talk radio show.
Of the American workforce is tied indirectly or directly to government. Because if they want to kill it, that there's a huge amount of jobs that are going to go with it. I just,
yeah.
That's
no, I don't. This is new, rooting for, you know, less teachers and firefighters and police. I don't get that. It's a, you know,
look,
they literally cheer public employee layoffs, right?
I've mentioned this before, but the difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party at this point is the Democrats treat this country like people with a mortgage who intend to stay in their home.
Yeah.
And the Republicans treat it like an apartment they've been renting, and if they can put toothpaste in the poster holes on the wall when they take them down and move out, they can keep their security deposit and move to the Cayman Islands.
I've done that.
Yeah, these guys have checked out. Paul
renter,
Ryan,
you're a renter.
Paul yeah. Ryan thinks of America, and I mean this legitimately, as an investment stepping stone. This is why Romney wouldn't tell you where his investment overseas lied and what companies
yeah,
he would invest in,
of course not.
Because this is. The American legal system is great for an investor. It protects your intellectual property if you develop a product and those kind of things. But once you move past that certain point and you're selling it to the rest of the world, we have terrible tariff and trade and protection laws in this country. And they take advantage of this because it's very porous, move their factories to China,
yep,
pack all that stuff up. And their next step is to move their corporate headquarters to a place where nobody will tax them.
Dana in Maryland. Hey, Dana, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Just this whole Pope thing, it's like kind of, it's a bit much.
Yes.
That's what I think every time I see a Pope.
2013 Pope Watch, you know.
Yes.
And, as a Jew, I find like the smoke out of the chimney kind
right.
of offensive anyway.
Right.
But that's a whole other
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, thanks for adding to global warming.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. What I don't understand is how this Mahoney is in the conclave picking the new pope when he was just stripped
yeah.
in California. Is that correct?
That's
I
right.
know.
Yeah.
$1 million lawsuit.
I know.
I mean, I just wanted to know what you guys think about all this.
I know.
Hurrah,
church is so corrupt.
Nonsense.
Yeah, it is. And plus, I don't get why it's like 24/7. Like people, everybody's just glued to their. Ooh, who are they going to pick? Like you're going to know any of them, right?
Well,
oh, he's good.
Look, the American people getting caught up in either these, especially if you're not Catholic. I suppose if you're Catholic, it has great meaning to you, and that's fine. But the rest of us having to watch it on the news as if it's kind of amazing is like watching a royal wedding to some degree.
Right.
We fought wars to avoid having to give a crap.
That's where we hit the gender divide.
No, we don't.
I love the Princess Di.
I know. It's pretty, but you would watch it like a celebrity wedding, and it's not. This is royalty. This is a monarchy, and we fought a war to avoid both these things. Our religious leader being picked by a bunch of dudes in a room blowing smoke. I mean, what
literally.
Metaphor could you possibly want
so
that would be
Rove,
better than that?
Karl Rove suggested that the American media could learn something from the papal conclave about not calling elections prematurely. And what he means by prematurely is when the Democrat wins.
Right.
Then it's just—it's always premature.
It's not an election; they pick a guy.
He
it's
said,
not an election;
he
they
said,
pick
God
a guy.
We don't have exit. We don't have exit polls or early returns. They do it the right way. They get to a final vote and the decision, and then they let the smoke get it.
Stop whining.
He said maybe there's a message there for the American media. Maybe we better wait rather than try to call it. Let the election go to its final conclusion and let the response.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
after
speak
he's stolen
themselves.
It.
We did.
Yeah.
Wow.
And how you're right, it's no more an election than, you know, picking a Speaker of the House
is
an election.
Exactly. If the Senate chose the president, we wouldn't call it an election.
Right.
We'd call it a selection.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is, especially when you have somebody like Mahoney actually in on the process. Honestly.
I think John Boehner would look awesome in little satin slippers and a big
hat. Red shoes, yeah.
Don't you think?
He'd get bronzer all over the collar and all over the hat.
Yeah, there'd be bronzer all over the hat.
John,
they'd have to dry clean it like every day.
Yeah.
John Boehner, while the sequestration is happening, joined a group of senators to add $181 million to an upgrade program at a Abrams tank facility where they build the Abrams tank in Lima, Ohio, which is driving distance from his district, where a lot of people in his district work at that plant, even though the Army is phasing out the Abrams tank.
Well, how convenient.
Why upgrade it when you're not going to build it anymore? $181 million. This is your fiscally responsible party. This is the head of this is the guy who pats Paul Ryan on the back and says, good job.
Yeah, nicely done. Oh, Boehner. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's no mystery. I obviously have the flu coupled with sudden onset Tourette syndrome.
34 minutes after the hour.
Can you get sudden onset Tourette syndrome?
What? I don't remember.
Bleep, yeah.
I don't remember. What? Yeah. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mary in Atlanta, you're on with Hal. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Miss Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say hello to everyone else, and you guys were on fire on Monday.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
It was a great show. It was an explosion of hotness. It was we had Wonder Woman, for God's sakes. It was, you know, and Hot Brie.
I wanted to address that comment that was made about Obama being a racist, and it's been said that he wants to turn black people against white people.
Yes, right. It's been said on Fox News. Let's be clear.
By people at Fox News pretending that it was somebody outside of Fox News saying it. Right.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
When they say some say, they mean someone in the hallway at Fox
News. They
mean
Roger Ailes that morning at the meeting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm biracial. And I've never once thought that, you know, my black DNA wanted to beat up my white DNA.
Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
And furthermore, with the reparations, if I were to get the 40 acres and the mule, I guess, you know, the righteous indignation of my black half would be elated. And
right.
No, you get 20 acres and an ass.
Yes, and then the white half of you would want to enslave the other half of you, the black half of you. You see, it just there's no
way. It's a vicious circle.
The white side of you would make the black side of you work the land.
Right.
With the mule.
There's no winning, Mary.
The Indian part of me wants my European people to go back where they came from.
It's amazing, though, how black he becomes to these folks without realizing, you know, he's largely raised by his white grandparents. And so their hatred of... what they must project from their side is kind of stunning.
Right.
If he hated white people like we hate black people, he probably wants to... Oh, my God, I'm scared. They're going to set up camps. FEMA coffins.
I thought it'd be... this whole budget battle going on, and we have our fiscal conservatives, of course, on the right. Would you like some not-so-fun facts from the Raw Story, how Americans were swindled by the hidden cost of the Iraq War?
Sure.
Wow, wait, this from the... Raw Story brings this by way of the Guardian. And it's just, you know, Rachel's had this great piece on MSNBC, but it is worth remembering when we're having these budget battles. They write, when the U.S. invaded Iraq in March 2003, the Bush administration estimated it would cost $50 to $60 billion, except what's his name, who said Iraq oil would pay for it, right?
Oh, Well, they still think Iraq owes us money.
Yeah, they said it would take $50 billion, overthrow...
for all the wonderful things we did.
Right.
Saddam Hussein and establish a functioning government. This estimate, of course, catastrophically wrong. The Iraq war has cost $823 billion between 2003 and 2011. Some estimates suggest it may eventually cost as much as $3.7 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Just they were a little off.
Oh, that's the practical costs. You know, not including the costs in, you know, detriment to our economy. And,
right.
All the
most striking fact about the cost of the war has been the extent to which it has been kept off the books, as we've said many times, of the government's ledgers and hidden from the American people. This was done by design, a fundamental assumption of the Bush administration's approach to the war, where it was only politically sustainable if it was portrayed as near costless to the American public. 70% of the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan between 2003 and 2008 were funded with supplemental or emergency appropriations approved outside the Pentagon's annual budget. Mm-hmm. How they ever got away with this, I don't know. More fundamentally, the Bush administration masked the cost of the war with deficit spending to ensure the American people would not face up to a cost while President Bush was in office, which is exactly what we're dealing with now. Most Americans were not asked to make any sacrifice for the Iraq war, while its real costs were confined to the 1% of the population who fought and died there. As a result, the average American was never forced to confront whether pouring money borrowed from China into the corrupt Iraq security services was worth it, or whether it made more sense to rebuild infrastructure in Iraq than, say, Philadelphia. And we lost at least, $8 billion to... fraud, waste,
whatever.
Yeah, now they're fiscal conservatives.
Right, and the president comes into office with $1.1 trillion in the budget before he ever does anything. at the moment of the crash, even, still with the $1.1 trillion that he's got to figure out a way to deal with. And largely, and he's making the choice, let's put this war on the books. Let's actually know we're there.
But now part of why the deficit's coming down is because we're getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan, which is what he ran and won on. These getting at least some of the Bush tax cuts back are helping. And
McCain and Lindsey Graham freaking out. Because McCain's original assessment of the war, I think, was that it would last about 65 minutes and they'd leave a mint on our pillow.
Right.
That's
and also, as we've said over
days.
And over, the lowest level of spending since, like, Eisenhower.
Yeah.
So their entire narrative is wrong, and it's just... Joe in Detroit, you're on with Hal. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, just a little serious note here. Last night on Rachel's show, they did a thing where when we first started the Republic... Each state got in the Constitution two senators.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The difference between the most populated state, Virginia, and the least populated, Delaware, was 11-1. Now it's 66-1.
Right.
So
Iowa has more representation than California, New York State by an exponential factor, which is an absurdity.
It figures out to 21%. The 41 senators represent 21% of the population. Mm-hmm. They're blocking 69% of the business. But it's worse in the House. If 600,000 are in a congressional district, when you take the 40 Tea Party people and divide that into the total House, it's less than 10%. So those 10% are holding up 90% of the business of this country and the people who don't believe that way.
Right. And don't get me started on anonymous holds. The idea that in a democracy, a senator can put a hold on a bill they don't like and never have to tell you, A, that it's them doing it, and B,
it's like,
why
like
they're doing it.
It's like Twitter.
Right. This is governing by YouTube trolling.
And everybody has an egg for an avatar.
Right, exactly.
You don't know who
Jim
it is.
Jim DeMint, blue egg.
Government by trolls.
Exactly.
All right, Barb in Ohio. Hi, Barb. You're on with us.
Hey. Hey, Steph. Hey, you were talking about rebuilding in Iraq, their infrastructure. What kills me is we'll go there. I know that we damaged everything. Don't get me wrong, and we should probably rebuild it. But we put all this money into Iraq, yet our own infrastructure is going to pot. We sell it off to everybody. I mean, foreigners are buying our roads, and, we're privatizing to raise money.
Well, the train from Vegas to Disneyland that all the Republicans said was a horrible idea and would not be financially sustainable is actually being built by a Chinese firm with $8 billion of private money because they know it's going to be profitable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you've got poor Detroit there
where
we can't even lend a helping hand to our own city.
Well, Barb,
can't help them. But and
this was
out, but yet we bail out everybody in the world and Wall Street and everybody.
And this
but
was
our
a
own,
and Barb, this was help. A this was a feeding trough too for these the Blackwaters and all of these private. I mean, it just
no bid contracts. That is your fiscal responsibility.
Yeah.
There's your belief in the American people. There's your constitutional freedom fighters.
Yeah.
Here I'm fighting for your freedom. Pay no attention to how I'm spending your money. And if I want to dump $8 billion of it into a series of trucks, and those trucks drive into the Iraqi desert and vaporize, and that money shows up God knows where. That's trust me on this. This is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
America.
Jim. America. Yeah. That was what I meant. What I meant to say was, Jim, I was on Aaron Burnett last night.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Wait a minute. Well, if you don't need that music, then you need this music.
Oh.
On
no,
CNN.
She has a show.
I was on CNN.
Aaron Burnett
on
has a show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you weren't on.
No, right.
Okay. But we were talking
on the
about
Aaron Burnett program. Important distinction in your case.
But it deprives Jim of that momentary pleasure.
No, it doesn't.
Making that creepy noise.
No, you couldn't. You could say, I was on the Aaron Burnett television program, and he'd go, doing what? So it would yummy.
There's room in the box.
Yeah, right.
I was seeing that out here in the little box.
That's right.
They're in New York. Okay. We were talking about Lance Armstrong. Wow, what a douche nozzle he is. Holy cow, is he arrogant. He said, I'm just like Bill Clinton, and people will forgive me.
Wow, really?
Nice try.
Well,
Bill Clinton's lie had nothing to do with his job
That's
performance.
That's what I said. on Aaron Burnett right. when I was on Aaron Burnett last night. That's yeah. what I said. I said, first of all, I said 70% of the American people agreed with me that he should not be impeached for his private life.
Right.
It had nothing to do with his job. Whereas I said, Lance Armstrong's cheating was his entire career
right,
went
right.
on his entire career. The lying went on his entire career.
Yep.
He was cheating about the thing that was his job, that people, mm-hmm. you know, that he was an inspiration to people for.
Right.
So that was different than, you know, investigating someone for their private life, playing gotcha, than, you know, using it to say this has something to do with your presidency. Okay.
Right.
Lance Armstrong has claimed the public will forgive him for being the biggest drug cheat in the history of the sport, just like they did Bill Clinton for his affair. Yes, once again, bad analogy. He said he saw the former president's rehabilitation as a model for his own, and that in a decade he'll be back on top again.
Uh-huh.
He said Clinton's a hero of mine, and he wants to copy him and become president of the world. Yes. Well, you see, the president, President Clinton has actually done a lot of things that
yes.
make him seen as president of the world.
More like an ambassador to the world.
Right.
But
yes.
Yeah, I get where you're going. Here's
right.
the thing with Lance Armstrong. I actually am thankful that he did what he did to himself, because arguably that's the best form of drug testing you can come up with. Instead of picking right. a bunch of people in a double-blind study and seeing if these drugs improve somebody, let some idiot like that chuck themselves full of it and go, whoops, you lose a testicle. Back up. We're not taking those drugs anymore. That's a bad idea.
We've
got to try a different plan.
He also denied being a bully, that he was only ever defiant and bragged about having his own constituency as if he were already on the campaign trail.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, too. He did bully people and,
yeah.
you know, intimidated them, and that's the other part of the story.
Someone likes himself a little too much.
Someone's very, very pleased with himself. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Skip on a pad.
Bam. Yeah, a little something extra for the ladies watching the TV. Little
yeah,
lap
that dance. Was not for the ladies. That
Mal
was strictly
Parks.
Comedy dancing. That was nuts.
Work for me.
That, if you're enticed by that, I'm concerned. And
I was.
Would run. Oh.
This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like I do
smart
with GoToMyPC.
Smartphone?
Yes, it's a great
smartphone.
It's the new Apple plant. The iPlant.
The GoToMyPC mobile apps are amazing. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days for my special offer. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button, and then the promo code 70. We're on vacation next week.
Yeah,
and
Hal is going to be sitting in
Sparks.
For us all week long.
I know.
And
it's going to be amazing.
Jackie Schechner will be live here in Captain
oh, yeah.
America's Underpants
awesome.
With Hal all week. Very, very exciting.
Absolutely. And and I will be wearing Captain America's Underpants.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yes.
she'll be in.
Will you be dancing like that, too?
Huh?
Will you be dancing like you just did?
No. Jackie's around. I'll kick
you'll,
it up a notch and really
a bit.
Do, yeah. I'll do the actual real sexy dancing
maximum
as opposed
hotness.
To the comedy Steve Martin-esque
oh.
sexy dancing.
Speaking of love letter from River, Steph, et al. Oh, some days your panel, some days your
et
just
all.
Whoever.
Yeah. Great.
Stefan.
Thanks. Nice to be et al. You guys, right?
Else
isn't it good to be in kind of
yeah.
and whoever?
Steph and.
And the rest.
I think what she means is Steph and like it matters. 2012 was an amazing year for me and my partner. First and most of all, we were honored to attend the meet and greet event at the Sexy Liberal here in Columbus in September.
Wow.
Irma Gerd.
Irma Gerd.
My partner bought tickets for me as a 10-year anniversary present. Wow. The next reason our year is so magnificent, I worked on the Obama re-election campaign, and for my hard work, I was honored to meet the president. OMG, what an amazing day. That was almost as great as meeting you. Well, it's hard to follow that.
Wow.
Oh, it is.
Really?
Whatever.
Whatever. Gerd is Purtis.
Purtis. In December, my partner is finally able to get a hip replacement thanks to Obamacare. Her care was outstanding. The insurance was accepted by everyone involved and paid 80% of her costs. Please tell people that Obamacare is working.
Wow.
Hooray.
But I've got a voucher.
You know what you ought to do with
support.
That fancy new hip road trip?
My sweet home, Chicago.
Hey, Chicago, you say twice wasn't enough?
15 is my limit.
Stephanie Miller's sexy liberal comedy tour is making a return visit to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Witness the ecclesiastical mook John Fugelsang, hilarious heartthrob Hal Sparks, and Catholic girl gone wild Stephanie Miller as they reunite for another night of inspired comedy.
We're putting the band back together. We're on a mission from God.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked a number one comedy album and its own TV documentary. It's more fun than a bag of Vipers.
We're just packaging what the kids want.
That's the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
Now, who can argue with that?
Nobody. Sweet Home Chicago is about to get more sugar from Mama.
Oh, yeah.
Chicago.
Who can argue with a bag of glass?
My
Sparks hometown.
My home city.
That's
there.
Right.
Fantastic.
All four of us have lived there.
I won the funniest teenager in Chicago contest at Ditka's restaurant when I was 17 years old.
Wow.
I've
been to Ditka's.
Yes, where he did it.
Tony Bennett was there when
and
I was at Ditka's.
My first real film job before I actually acted. I did a after school special, but the first thing I actually got paid to do was an extra in a Midway Airlines ad with Mike Ditka. I was four people behind him. I was the weird looking guy in line.
How totes adorbs is that? Chicago's
Who's
funniest
weird
teenager.
Looking guy back there behind Ditka.
Yeah.
I have an email from a listener.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It says, please stop sexually harassing Stephanie. It shouldn't be allowed just because she's gay.
Right.
I never hear anyone harassing Jim and Chris.
Oh, I do.
Your commends would not fly in other workplaces. She should file suit
comments.
Against you two.
I'll get on it post haste.
Right.
Travis, get my lawyer. Oh, I don't have one. All right.
Oh, you will.
Oh,
but
I
you
will.
Do have a spectacular ass.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why? I ought to sue you.
You're under arrest.
And if I weren't
actually,
so sad and pathetic, I would.
Well,
Bill
actually,
in New
you're
York.
The boss, so sexual harassment's a little hard to, you know. I mean, I guess it could work up the chain, but it's a little harder.
No, yeah. I said
your job is
them.
In danger if you don't put out. You're my employee. Oh, right.
Oh,
I'm fired. I'll clear out my desk.
All right. I don't have a desk. So.
Yeah, well, okay.
Bill in New York.
My locker.
Yeah, Stephanie.
I didn't even have that. Yes, hello.
Yeah, you know, the press, the president and the Democrats, you know, they don't know how to frame their argument against the Republicans, you know, in the press when the Republicans always saying that the Democrats want to raise taxes. Well, the Democrats should be repeating that they're trying to close loopholes, you know, tax breaks known as loopholes.
Yep.
That's not raising taxes. That's,
right.
That's closing loopholes.
Yeah, that's
it's just
right.
Semantics.
Well, you know, the President's Carney talked about this. We played this earlier. Jay Carney said exactly that. Earlier.
Have you looked at the Ryan budget? Can you find a single item in tax reform, a single loophole closed to achieve $5 trillion? $5 trillion, man, that's a lot of money. Not one.
Prenup support. I got prenup support.
I'm serious. I'm staying bold and courageous.
Get your coupon. Go door to door, old lady.
I shot a Newsmax. Huh?
I'm having chest pains. I'm sorry, we don't take that coupon. What? I'm having chest pains.
Right.
Two doors down and up the flight of stairs. Maybe they can
stop looking
to
for the Pope. Stop looking at smoke.
Sunday,
Dennis Rodman is on it.
Oh, thank God.
Dennis Rodman, fresh from his summit in North Korea. What's that?
Has that worked out so well? They declared war against us.
Shut the front door. I mean, really? He's now setting his sights on fixing those pesky problems plaguing the Catholic Church. He's jetting to Rome today in hopes of meeting the new pope. Rodman tells TMZ his people in Rome. Okay, that's the funniest part of the whole story.
Right.
Dennis Rodman has people in Rome. Okay.
Yeah, basketball fans.
Have been in touch with the Vatican, and they're trying to arrange a sit-down with whoever the next guy
All right.
Dennis said, I want to be anywhere in the world that I'm needed. Okay, you're not needed actually
anywhere.
But thanks for. Why does he suddenly? I don't.
First
of
all, he pops up in countries like Jimmy Carter. You know, it's like what?
But it's so random.
I'm 100% fine with that because exporting weird is one of our untapped resources in the United States.
Right.
We have a lot of interesting weird individuals in this country.
It's just weird. It's like Meadowlark Lemons on his way to Iran.
Right. Actually, they were watching the Harlem Globetrotters. That's where actually Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un were actually watching the Harlem Globetrotters together.
Okay, Hal Sparks, funniest teenager in Chicago?
Yes.
If this isn't a setup for a joke, I don't...
Still have the shirt.
Okay.
They made a shirt.
I've heard this
before. Big white fuzzy letters on it.
Liz Taylor, Michael Jackson, and Marlon Brando.
Marlon
went on a road trip. Marlon Brando went on a road trip right after 9/11. Because remember, you couldn't fly.
Sure.
And they went on a road trip.
Pull over, there's another Cracker Barrel.
We can't stop at every Cracker Barrel.
No, that's true. Brando allegedly annoyed his colleagues by stopping at every KFC and Burger King they passed along the highway.
Wow.
I need more sustenance.
We're going through the drive-thru this time. I'm not watching you get in and out of the car again. It's making
this.
Me lose my appetite.
I can only imagine the shock their parents caused at gas stations and restaurants across
America.
I'm not
driving. I'm not in any position to drive.
I love Stuckies. Wait a minute. Is that Marlon Brando?
He wants hash browns.
I love the nut roll.
Michael wants sweet tea.
All right. Wow. We got to go on vacation. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yes, Shimon and Dee.